So it's been confirmed then. David Cameron's given his speech on our future in Europe and promised a referendum on whether the UK should stay in the European Union.
The next Conservative manifesto in 2015 will ask for a mandate from the British people for a Conservative government to negotiate a new settlement with our European partners in the next Parliament. It will be a relationship with the single market at its heart. And when we have negotiated that new settlement, we will give the British people a referendum with a very simple in or out choice.
Well, the plan's being criticised by Labour and the Lib Dems for creating uncertainty that could damage the economy. Ed Miliband said it's a huge gamble. He said that during PMQs.
He's going to put Britain through years of uncertainty and take a huge gamble with our economy. He's running scared of UKIP. He's given in to his party and he can't deliver for Britain.
Well, further afield, Germany and France have warned against cherry-picking or taking an à la carte approach to the EU. We talked about this, of course, on last night's programme. Here's what some of you thought then.
Personally, I'm for Europe, so my gut feeling is to go in. The problem is what the sort of anti-people are saying is that if we came out, we would have the same rules and regulations and whatever, but obviously we couldn't.
We've been ruled by Europe. We don't want that. What we wanted was just a trade with them, free trade.
This country, you know, is in dire financial straits. There are far more important things to be worrying about. So I personally would have said, no referendum, let's concentrate on the things which are really important.
Well, that was all before the speech. Now it's been confirmed. So what do you make of what David Cameron's had to say today? Is he right to offer the referendum? And did the speech change your opinion at all? Is he gambling with the future of the UK? He's been accused of that. Give us a call, 0500 909 693. Text us on 85058. Sir Nigel Sheinwald was Britain's ambassador to Washington until last year and used to be a senior diplomat in Brussels. Joins us now. Hello, Nigel.
Good evening, Tony.
Welcome to the programme. And Bernard Jenkins here as well, a Eurosceptic Conservative MP. Hello, Bernard.
Hi.
Well, you'll be pleased with this, won't you?
I am broadly pleased. And actually, the more I read this speech, the more it's growing on me. There's a great deal in it where he's laid down exactly what the British people feel, that the European Union's become bureaucratic and out of touch. And this has got to be addressed by Europe as a whole, not just in our own relationship with Europe.
But Bernard, is it what the people of Britain feel? Because we had a phone in last night on this programme and a lot of people called to say they want to stay in Europe.
Well, I think it's a great mistake. I'm not signed up to the UKIP policy of, let's just get out and tell them to sod off, frankly. That's very destructive. We want an engaged relationship with our European partners. We want to cooperate with them. We want to trade with them. And, you know, we've got NATO, we've got all sorts of other very important...
The danger is, if David Cameron offers the country a referendum, the country might say to Europe, sod off, to quote
him. Well, the answer is, even if we voted to leave, we would be negotiating a new relationship with our European partners. And the mechanism for leaving the EU, which is laid out in the treaty article, obliges the European Union to agree with any member state that leaves to have a fair and free trade relationship with that country. So we're not, this is not about casting ourselves adrift. Personally, I'd like to stay in the European Union and get the relationship right. But the idea that we don't have an option is ridiculous.
Well, David Cameron would like to stay in the European Union as well, but he's now committed to offering this country a chance to get out of it. Are you slightly worried that you and your fellow Eurosceptics have in a way forced him into this position?
Well, I think he's been forced into this position, by the fact that the British people are feeling so disillusioned. He said in his speech, and I think he's right about this, that disillusion with the European Union and the United Kingdom is at an all-time high, and that's probably across the whole continent. We've got to address this. And he is the first Prime Minister in 40 years to re-engage the British people with this relationship. And that's a very, very positive step.
All right. Nigel Sheinwald, where do you stand on this? On the one hand, you've got arguments from people like Bernard Jenkin. On the other, you've got Nick Clegg and Ed Miliband saying this is not in the national interest.
Well, I worry about it because I'm not sure the Prime Minister can deliver both the things that he wants. He says he is passionately committed to staying in the European Union, but there are two fundamental problems. I mean, the first problem, as I think you've mentioned, is negotiability. He says he wants a big new settlement with the rest of Europe. The other Europeans, I'm sure, will try and accommodate us, as Angela Merkel said today, up to a point.
Well, just to reiterate that, actually, can I just interrupt there? Because the headlines, Daily Telegraph says Merkel hints at deal for Cameron in the Telegraph and in the Guardian. Let's talk, says Merkel, as Cameron gambles on EU.
But she says there has to be a compromise. So what she's saying and what others in Europe will say is that, of course, we'll listen to the UK. But if the UK demands too much, if it says it wants to unravel the whole of the single market or make it impossible for the rest of us to abide by the rules, then they're not going to vote against their own fundamental economic interests or weaken the eurozone any further. So there's an issue of negotiability. And the British government's got to think about and judge and weigh its hand very, very carefully. And then I think there is a problem about announcing this 4 or 5 years before a referendum might be called. I think that is going to be chilling for investment in the UK because of all the uncertainty. And I think it will have an impact on our broader influence and standing in the world, which is how we influence things and how we get things done.
We'll address that in just a second. Bernard, I'll come to you in just a second on that. Just a bit of breaking news I want to bring in. We've been talking tonight about this incident at the Swansea-Chelsea game where Eden Hazard apparently kicked a ball boy while trying to retrieve the ball. The ball boy was led on the ball. The latest we have on that says that South Wales police tonight say they intend to interview the ball boy who was apparently kicked during that match between Swansea and Chelsea. So South Wales police now getting involved in the incident. They're going to interview the ball boy. Lots of you texting in on this subject of Europe. Lots of you called last night. Give us your views today. 0500 909 693. The text number is 85058. And Faye, what have we got?
We've got one text that says, why are we so scared of democracy? What's wrong with asking the people? I'm 42 and I've never been asked my view on Europe. Let's vote. Adrian in Hemel says, the Tories are pro the European superstate, but they're against the single currency. And by 2017, they'll be powerless to do anything anyway. And another one from Bernard in Newcastle upon Tyne says, Cameron is a prisoner of his UKIP MPs. It is damaging to the country and the economy. But Cameron's got a Tory party united for one day, a disaster for millions of us. But the Tories only care for the 1%.
Yeah, and Bernard Jenkin, in a way, David Cameron's turned the next election into a referendum on the referendum, hasn't he? He's offering his party, your party, as a choice pro-referendum, whereas it appears, although the messages are mixed from Ed Miliband, that Labour and the Lib Dems will oppose it.
Well, I'm glad you added that comment, the messages are mixed, because it seems extremely unlikely that the Labour Party are going into the European elections, or indeed the next general election, opposed to a referendum. They, within 10 minutes of Prime Minister's questions today, they were briefing that's not against a referendum for all time. That's not what he meant. And I suspect that the Labour Party do not want to find themselves on the wrong side of public opinion on this.
OK. All right. I'll be back with you, Nigel and Bernard, in a second. I just want to bring in another guest now, Steve Maughan. He left the UK 10 years ago because he agreed with UK policy on Europe. He now runs his own management consultancy company in America called Cosmics in Florida. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Tony.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, Steve. Just first of all, just briefly give us some context then on your decision to leave the UK.
I was very passionate about the euro and fighting the euro when I was in the UK. And I sold a company in 2002. We obviously were successful in getting the UK to keep sterling. And sold a company and decided to move to the States to set up in business over in the States. Now, the direction of Europe wasn't the only factor in that decision, but it certainly did actually play a role because I wasn't happy with the regulation and the direction that we were taking. And I just thought that the UK is going to get dragged along by this.
Mm. Well, David Cameron's offered now to try and renegotiate a lot of that regulation. Would that tempt you back?
Would it tempt me back? I don't think so. I think the amount of regulation that we're seeing from Europe at the moment is just tremendous. 8 out of 10 laws that are coming into the UK are actually from the EU. There's also cultural issues, but never say never. If David Cameron was able to renegotiate a situation where we were sort of the Singapore, the Hong Kong of the EU or Europe, then maybe I would be tempted back.
All right. Steve, stay there. And in fact, join in the discussion, please. Nigel Sheinwald's with me and Bernard Jenkin as well. Nigel, I think one of the issues here, and this certainly comes from what we discussed on the programme last night. It's very difficult for people to make an informed decision because the two sides on this argument are so entrenched. Yet nobody really can predict, can they, what would happen if Britain and if the UK came out of the European Union?
No, and we've Bernard talked a bit about that before. But the reality is that no country has actually left. I mean, Greenland left, but no member state of the European Union has left. So we've been completely uncharted territory, and we do our best in those circumstances. But if you look at the models for countries which are close to the European Union but not in it and want to have a relationship with it, they're not very promising for the UK. David Cameron dealt with those today. If you're Norway, you basically take all our laws and regulations, take it or leave it, and you have no role in shaping or negotiating them. You're part of the single market. You've got the access, but you've got no ability to influence it. Mm. If you're Switzerland, you do it case by case. You have nothing to do with financial services, so the City of London would be cut adrift. So those are the two obvious models that that the Eurosceptics in this country use, but I think they're very unsuitable for the UK. And there's a fundamental issue too. Do British people really think they're like Switzerland or like Norway? Those are great countries in their own way, but we surely have a different view of ourselves, of our role in the world, of our history and so on. We want to be more actively involved, and I just don't think that model would work for us.
All right, give us your views. Has today changed your mind after we discussed this issue last night? 0500 909 693. Bernard Jenkin, you and your fellow Eurosceptics may get what you want in the form of the renegotiated settlement. You may get everything you want, but if the referendum goes ahead and the public say out, then essentially you've done UKIP's work for them, haven't you?
Well, I'm sure that the British people are not going to vote to leave.
If we get a
good new settlement. But let me just deal with what Sir Nigel was just saying. The idea that we've got to be like Norway or Switzerland if we weren't in the European Union. I mean, this is rubbish. We're the sixth largest economy in the world. The EU sells far more to Britain than that we sell to the EU. We're now Germany's largest export market. The idea that they're going to want to shut us out of the single market because we want a different relationship with the EU is clearly rubbish. And as I say, that if the European Union would be obliged by its own treaties to negotiate a free and fair trading deal with any member state that wants to leave. So I think what the ideal is, I mean, most people in this country want trade and political cooperation with our European partners. And the ideal is to create a new template of membership. We don't want to be in the single currency. We don't want to be in the Federation of States. How can we justify being governed by the institutions of the European Union and our laws being set by them and adjudicated by their courts when we don't want to be in the Federation?
I'll ask you a difficult question now, Bernard. When it comes to the referendum, do you think enough people in this country will understand the nuanced arguments about the renegotiated settlement?
Yes,
or
I do.
Will they see it as a black and white decision?
Yes, I do, because I think politicians who underestimate the intelligence of voters are usually the ones that don't get elected. We trust the British people to elect governments. The British people are perfectly capable of making a judgment. What they will do is they'll smell a rat if people are trying to pull the wool, if that's not mixing too many metaphors. Mm. Do you smell rats when you pull the wool? But, I mean, you get the gist. I mean, if politicians are pretending about dangers and risks that don't really exist, I think the British people will see through that.
All right. Steve Morn, just before you go, you've gone to America. Many people are leaving the UK. 2 million, in fact, have left in the past 10 years. It's been called the brain drain today. Do you blame any of that on policy with the EU?
Absolutely. Definitely the opportunities that you have overseas seem far shinier than they are in the EU and in the UK. Just to pick up on Nigel's point, I think philosophically, we do not have to take the regulations in order to have free trade. And the great model is the US. The US states have different regulations in different states, and they trade very well with each other. As an example, the Right to Work Act in states like Florida means that no one can be forced into a union, whereas in Michigan you don't have that. So there is competition of regulations, and that's an important point. And certainly if we renegotiate with Europe, we don't have to accept the regulations that are in the EU.
Okay, Steve Moore, thank you very much indeed. Bernard Jenkin as well. Nigel Sheinwald, just before you go, I'll ask you the same question I asked Bernard, because it is a difficult one to address for all sorts of reasons. But will the electorate understand the detail of this argument, do you think, when it came time for a referendum? Or would they base their view on pre-held prejudices, do you think?
No, I think the more information there is, the more people will come round to a more pro-European position. I think it's very interesting. The last opinion poll I saw last weekend was actually the most favourable towards the EU. This is in the Sunday Times, for about a year. So there was actually a small majority in favour of us staying in that newspaper. So I think that debate will be helpful. I think it will even out some of the diet of anti-European stuff that we've been hearing for quite a while. So I don't have any doubt about that. I think the problem is that a referendum is a risky business and quite a sort of crude tool, because it depends on the context. It depends whether people really are voting on those European issues or whether they're voting on something which just happens to be going on at the time, something in British politics or international politics that they're steamed up about.
All right.
And I think that's the problem. And that's been some of the history of referenda in other European countries, is that everything gets mixed up. And the general disenchantment with politicians and with politics infects the way in which people are looking at the actual question on the order paper. So I think that's one of the problems with them.
All right. Nigel Sheinwald, thank you very much indeed. We will hold this debate many times, I think, over the next few years, certainly up to the next general election and beyond if the Conservatives win.